Welcome in, Tappers, to a Tuesday edition of the Daily Tap. It is July 17th. Happy to talk to you guys today. Hope you guys had a good Monday. Probably enjoyed the home run derby. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're also going to talk about Le'Veon Bell. And the Athletic comes to Wisconsin. We'll go over all of that. And before we do, you guys can follow us on SnowTapWI. It is a website, your alternative source for sports. So yes, the Athletic, I guess, is a competitor of SnowTap. Obviously, we respect them, respect everybody. And at the same time, visit us, show your support, show the love for the blog. Also, too, you can find us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SnowTapWI. Make sure you follow our other SnowTap contributors, Mitch Ross MKE on Twitter, and at the Nolan Murphy. Make sure you guys are doing that. And after you've followed us on every social media channel, because you are the best, you can then subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, whatever you prefer. We are into it. So let's chat a little bit about the home run derby last night. Not necessarily recapping the derby, although it was arguably one of the best ever. I think the derby has never been better. I think finally baseball figured out something fun, and finally baseball realized that they could have a little fun in their game. I mean, it took for fucking ever, but they got rid of the 10 outs. They did a bracket style, timed event, unlimited amount of outs. You just spray the ball. There's a little bit of strategy. If you hit it over 440 feet, you get a bonus. There's timeouts. It's just structured perfectly. We had so many dramatic moments. We had the Reese Hoskins, Kyle Schwarber coming back to take down Reese Hoskins. We had Bryce Harper just doing the damn thing for the entire night, including the 9 home runs in 47 seconds, to where Cubs fans got so insecure and so in their feelings, shout out to Drake, that they petitioned it on Twitter and said that Bryce Harper was cheating and all this other bullshit. It was amazing. I mean, just, yes, I feel like because you had someone who is a hometown guy, it amplified the derby. It made the derby more special. I think you need to continue to have own, you know, if you are wherever you're playing, if they have a home run hitter, have them in the derby. Like last year, they had Justin Bour and Giancarlo Stanton in the derby, both Miami Marlins representatives. I believe next year is in Cleveland. I would love it if they had, you know, Jose Ramirez, Francisco Lindor, Michael Brantley. Probably not Michael Brantley, but you get my point. Probably Lindor or Ramirez would be fantastic next season for the home run derby, because the fans are just genuinely more into it when the hometown guy is there. It also was fun that they pitted Harper up against a rival of the Nationals with Freddie Freeman. So yeah, you could do that too. Have a Kansas City Royals member or a Chicago White Sox. I mean, unfortunately for the Indians, the AL Central is the trash of Major League Baseball, so they don't really have that sort of head-to-head rival. But yes, it was fantastic. It was great. I think, you know, it's a bright spot for the National fans who've really had a disappointing season. You know, they thought that Washington would be a contender for the World Series and obviously the NL East, and they're right around 500 at the break. Now, granted, it's a long season and they can turn it around, but right now it is not how they expected it, especially with it being Bryce Harper's potentially last year in Washington, D.C. Who knows where that will net out in the offseason, and if this is sort of his last moment in D.C., it's a good one. And yes, Jesus Aguilar did not make it past the first round. Reese Hoskins was an absolute machine. He's obviously done this a couple times before. And Aguilar bows out, which is okay. I'm not really like going to sweat it. I mean, Aguilar had too slow of a swing probably for the Derby, and now he knows that I'm probably not a home run Derby guy. And that's okay. I mean, that is perfectly fine. I think it's, you know, Jesus just did his thing. He didn't screw anything up. He didn't try to do something different. And even if he goes into a slump and then everybody blames the home run Derby, which is the worst fucking thing alive, I mean, it's really not an issue. So happy for him. Happy that he, you know, got his name out there and, you know, got to participate. I mean, it's fun. It's a fun thing to be a part of. Another note from the Derby was Javi Baez rocking the Roberto Clemente jacket. I tried to really look and see if Pirate fans were upset about that. I was trying to think if, as a Brewer fan, if I would be mad that Javi Baez was wearing something from, you know, a Brewer relic. I don't think I would be, because I think his family, the Clemente family, probably asked Baez to wear it. There is a connection there that goes beyond who they play for. It's Puerto Rico. It's not where they play. It's where they're from, right? And so I'm not really gonna like fire off things about, oh man, Pirate fans are triggered. I think Pirate fans who are upset about it kind of just need to understand, even if they don't like Baez. And I think Baez is the type of player, Tony Cartagena of ESPN, Madison, Wisconsin, mentioned that Baez is kind of a guy he likes, but he hates him because he's on the Cubs. I have no real issue with Javi. I think Javi is one of those guys who pisses you off when he's playing your team because he does certain things that get under your skin. But when they're playing, I don't know, the Tigers or something, and he steals home, you're like, whoa, fuck. Like, he has an electrifying experience about him. So I kind of think that's how I describe Javi Baez. I'm glad to see there wasn't too much outrage. Who knows, though? You never know. Some cranky old journalist could spit out just a dumbass column this morning, and all of a sudden it's like becomes a big thing that Baez wore this jacket and whatever. Because we just do stupid shit. I mean, I wrote about it today. You know, you had Ariana Grande's fans and the NBA Twitter going at each other. I mean, Christ, you know, you just never know. But yeah, do not fix the home run derby. Keep the home run derby the way it is. It's 2 hours. It's perfect. The structure is good. It would be nice to see bigger names like a guy like Nolan Arenado, JD Martinez, Mookie Betts even. And Mookie said, nah, it's not my thing. Participate in the Derby. But I think having the young guys there is great. I mean, it builds notoriety for a player like even Freddie Freeman. I mean, Bryce Harper was the face of that Derby and he wins it. I think Schwarber was probably number two and Baez number three. And they all did okay. I mean, Baez did go out in the first round, but still, he had a lot of face time and got, you know, what people probably were looking for. So don't think you need to fix the Derby. It's perfect the way it is. Keep it this way until people lose interest. All right, moving on to Le'Veon Bell. I thought, you know, this is a very interesting topic as people are starting to think about fantasy football. I don't think people are drafting yet. I hope not. But training camp is less than 10 days away, at least for the Packers. I'm sure it's less for some other teams, maybe more for people. But Le'Veon Bell will not probably be at Steelers camp. A deal was not reached for Le'Veon Bell to get an extension. The numbers that Schefter had were pretty good for a running back. A little coffee sip there. And you know, so it's interesting that Bell didn't take the deal, that Bell would rather go on the open market as a running back. Running backs betting on themselves is technically not a recommended practice, I think, in the league, but he's going to do it. And it'll be interesting to see how many games Le'Veon Bell plays. So, you know, getting my Nolan Murphy on, who is our fantasy expert, about sort of the Le'Veon Bell impact and what do you do with Le'Veon Bell. Some people might owe keepers by the end of the month. And I have Le'Veon Bell in the league, but I actually think that, and not that you care, but I think if you do have Le'Veon Bell as a keeper, I think you stay away from him. I think you just look and see, do I have a guy that is a first round talent? So a guy that can replace Bell. Because the way I think you should look at keepers, if you're just keeping two, the standard, you keep two, and you can keep whomever you want. That you look at, okay, do I have a first round talent as a keeper, and do I have a second round talent as a keeper? If I have both of those things, then I'm good. Then I don't need to worry about, you know, letting someone go in an open market, even if it's a player of Le'Veon Bell's stature. Because, you know, there's going to be other teams who are, especially if you have an early pick or something like that, where you can get, you know, one of the better teams have released a very good player that you can draft right away in the hypothetical third round. So I would stay away from Bell unless you think that there's just no one else and that you have to sort of eat the trash with Le'Veon Bell. Obviously, if you only have to keep one, I would definitely avoid Le'Veon Bell at all costs. I think right now he is fantasy poison. I think if we have this conversation, probably with Murph, at the end of August, it might change based on what we know about Le'Veon Bell. If you can trade keepers, I might bring up an idea of seeing if someone would be more of a gambler to take a risk on Bell. Because I think that Bell is a great player and an amazing fantasy asset. He is kind of persona non grata right now in that fantasy world until they know exactly what his plan is. If he misses the first month of the season and you don't have Le'Veon Bell, you could be 1-3 before you know it versus having a pretty competent running back or two really good receivers and you're off and running and you're 3-1 or 2-2 to start the year. And some poor sap is trying to trade you Le'Veon Bell 4 weeks into the season because your team's successful. I mean, that is another strategy. If you have a bad fantasy team, maybe you do keep Le'Veon Bell. And then once he's back playing, you offer him up to somebody for a ton of assets. So, I mean, fantasy is such a fluid situation. There are so many, like, it's like an NCAA tournament bracket. There are so many different situations of how you handle someone like Le'Veon Bell. And it appears it's his last year as a Steeler. So what is Pittsburgh going to do? Are they going to freeze him out? I mean, Pittsburgh, talk about a team who has just so much drama going on with them with all the Ben Roethlisberger stuff and now this Le'Veon Bell thing and not really having that much of a defense. We'll see, man. Not really a great year to probably be a Steeler fan. A lot of dysfunction. And so the idea is that Bell is probably done as a Steeler, and you wonder where does he go? And it's going to be interesting to see what the market is. And to get out in front of it, no, the Green Bay Packers do not need Le'Veon Bell. I'm sure that will be a sports radio topic. Please tweet me if a radio show does do that topic today, because I think that is a stone cold lock. That said, the Packers have two very talented young running backs. There's no need to break the bank on a 30-year-old running back. I get that Le'Veon Bell is an amazing talent, but in the Packers system with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if Le'Veon Bell would be used the right way. Granted, having him catch passes from Rodgers out of the backfield would be amazing, but like I said, I would not break the bank and for a guy like Le'Veon Bell for the Green Bay Packers. Granted, people are going to put it out there. People are going to say, oh, well, they'll make it work. They'll figure it out. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes, because you know it's going to draw reaction from the sports radio crowd, that people are going to call in and talk about it and act like they know A, contracts, B, how a backfield works, and C, just anything else under the sun. Well, we could get rid of Rodgers and add Le'Veon Bell. That will be some sports radio take, which not like from a host, but from a caller, because people don't value quarterbacks like they used to because they're fucking idiots. All right. So to wrap it up, I did want to mention that The Athletic has officially launched in Wisconsin. Jason Gay of the Wall Street Journal said, Twitter really is just Trump and Athletic hires, which I thought was very humorous because I feel like The Athletic just keeps adding and adding and adding. They launched their Wisconsin outlet today. Michael Cohen has been announced as the Green Bay Packers writer. Robert Murray, formerly of FanRag Sports, who worked for John Heyman, he is going to be covering the Brewers. So interesting to have. And Jesse Temple is covering the Badgers. Jesse Temple has been around for a while. Murray's really the only fresh face and only one that it'll be interesting to see what how he makes inroads with this team and what he has to do. I mean, Cohen has been part of the Journal Sentinel, definitely built a name for himself working there for a variety of reasons. He got really out there with podcasts and had, you know, a very popular Packer podcast with fans. And then he also obviously got himself in the mud and really, you know, was a journalist. I give Cohen a lot of credit for, you know, getting out there and getting stories. Granted, I think some were reaching, but I do appreciate him not sort of backing down to the Packer brass. I think it's really easy to do those sort of things. Temple's been a mainstay for Badger coverage for the last few years. Very good at what he does. And Murray, like I said, unknown. So I guess the question is do you feel the need to pay for The Athletic Wisconsin? Do you need a subscriber outlet for that sort of thing? I'm not really sure. I guess I'm going to have to see what kind of content they're producing. And if it's stuff that, A, we can talk about on podcasts and in blogs, then yeah, I think it's worth it. But if it's something where it doesn't really have that, it's not worth it to me. I'll be curious to see what, you know, other sports fans think. I mean, this is the first really subscriber-based thing for the state of Wisconsin. They have like a rival, I think Rivals, you know, does some things, and there are a few others, but this is the first real thing. So I'd be curious to know if you're already signing up, if you're already into it, let me know. If you're like on the edge and you're like, yeah, I think so, but I'm kind of like you and waiting, you know, let me know too. Or if you're just like, I'm completely out on this, hit me up, StoneTapWI on Twitter. Just curious to hear people's opinions on it. I know they will be getting their name out in the marketplace very quickly and very up in your face. They like to promote a lot, at least to me, because they probably know I fit their algorithm as a sports fan. I get it. All right. So we will be tomorrow tapping the keg at episode 295, inching towards 300. Mitch and I will be chatting then about Jabari Parker talk tomorrow. Look forward to that. Basically, Mitch and I are both fed up with the puff pieces going around about Jabari Parker, and I think some realism needs to be ejected there. We'll also talk about the Brewers at the break, and a few, I'm sure that might carry us. Maybe a little mention of the Packers as we get closer to training camp. All right, guys, take care of yourselves. Don't tap WI. Find us on all the channels. Subscribe on your favorite podcast network, and Mitch and I will talk to you tomorrow. Okay, bye now.